The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. It's 8:30 p.m. EDT, Sunday, the 7th of July, and thanks for joining us for Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode, and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 6. After tonight, there are only two more episodes until the mid-season finale. Season 5 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with 8 episodes running until July 21st. We now know when Season 5 will resume. New news for you guys. Confirmed by comicbook.com via ticket booking site One Iota that does the tickets for the filming for Talking Dead. On June 29th, they posted an article I had missed earlier, and they said, quote, after its July 21st midseason finale, and this is a bit of a spoiler to other news I have for you guys, Fear will undergo a short break. The back half of the season will return August 11th and is expected to run its season 5.
The dates looked odd for a minute, and I had to stop and made sure that made sense. Pardon me, that was my fault.
It's expected to run its season 5 finale on September 29th, ahead of The Walking Dead's expected early October season 10 premiere, which would put it on, let me scroll real quick, it would be October 6th. So typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode of Walking Dead or Fear. Each week goes live with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including birthdays, bios, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 at any time, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. EDT. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And we post the links for that on our Facebook page and my Twitter. So feel free to grab the link, go to town. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go back to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. Okay, I'm going to check and see what's going on. Joan has managed to be here from the beginning, so I want to give her some applause and welcome for being here every week and helping me out. She's kind of my right-hand person, helping me look things up, you know, trivia and verifying facts that happen on the fly and all that kind of good stuff. So always appreciative. All righty. Episode 6, pardon me, I had not changed where I said 5 from last week. It is episode 6 tonight called The Little Prince. Yes, as in the book. Official AMC synopsis is, facing impossible odds, Luciana and the group work together to tackle an impossible task while Morgan helps prevent disaster. Elsewhere, an old friend presents Sarah, Charlie, and Strand with a solution. And as we typically do on this show, I have some extra synopses. And last week I only had a couple. This week I have quite a few. And I had actually run out of articles to read you guys and was reading some of the interviews with the cast that AMC does. So this is kind of the opposite week.
I have lots and lots of articles, and I may not finish them all. But I want to finish the synopses article. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Each one of them has a little bit of a different take or mentions different things, which is why I have what may appear to be redundancy, but it's really not. So let's go ahead and jump in. Joan has not added anything else, so we're going to go ahead and go straight to the article. So for this first one is from Fansided, which is under the banner for Undead Walking. And it is Fear the Walking Dead, Synopsis of a Little Prince by Sarah Beth Pollock. And this was written a couple days ago. Okay. This week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead sees everyone back together again. Now that Al has been reunited with the rest of the group, the challenge shifts to finding a way to get back to Strand, Charlie, Wendell, and Sarah. At this point in the season, with only two episodes left before the mid-season finale, all of the new cast members that we know of have shown up. Dwight is with John and June. Salazar is somewhere out there. Grace is always around, it seems. And the kids are now with Morgan. Back on the other side of the mountain, Logan and his crew are still at the Denim Factory, and I say, assumably. This is the point where everything starts getting complicated, because it wasn't already. The foundation of the story has been laid, and it's time to build the tension towards the mid-season finale. And by this, I mean, no. Okay. I don't mean the end. I mean just episode 8. So far, there haven't been any major battles or deaths in season 5, but let's face it, it won't stay quiet for long. The two figures that could have the biggest impact leading to the mid-season finale are Salazar and Dwight, both of whom have seen a lot in their own right and might be able to guide the group out of this dangerous new place. It seems like the kids want to go with them, too, so it will be tricky finding a way to lead such a large group out of such a treacherous spot. And then they give the synopsis, which, of course, I already gave you guys, so I'm not going to read that again, and then that's the end of that synopsis. Please forgive my hiccups as I go to the next synopsis, pulling it up for you guys. So sorry. Okay, the next synopsis is from bleedingcool.com. This is a source that we use occasionally. As Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince, Grace Under Pressure. Posted by Ray Fluke, who has been their primary writer about this series. Mostly everything I've gotten from them in the last few weeks is from him. Okay. In the most recent episode of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead, The End of Everything, which was last week, we finally found out what happened to Althea after robo-soldier Isabel took her a few episodes back. And by the way, I want to mention again, Sydney Lemon, SYDNEYLEMMON, the name of the actress who played Isabel, and she wasn't credited in last week's show, and she had an awful lot to do because it was a show mostly about the two of them. So I find it a little weird that they didn't even give the actress credit, and I also kind of hope that we see her again, and I feel like we will, the way they set the story up. My comments, going back to the article. While the episode was more a character study of Althea, and a strong one at that, we did get some clues as to how this ties into CRM, and the upcoming Walking Dead Rick Grimes movies. You can check our recap and thoughts on the connections here. It gives a link. But two things that do not bode well for the future. First, there was Isabel's line about the place she comes from. Quote, we are a force who are not living for ourselves or for the now. Second was the decision Althea made to lie to Morgan and Alicia about what went down, at least for now. Yeah, I have to disagree with Ray a little bit on both of those. We are forces not living for ourselves or for the now. Definitely could be a comment about people that think that they are building something for the future. It's just they're not all la, 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 hippy dippy, let's go live at Walden Pond about it. I think that they think they're doing something very necessary in a very unfortunate circumstance. And as far as Althea lying to Morgan and Alicia, you have to understand what Isabel told her. And her believing that Isabel was going to kill her and that everything is expendable, she doesn't want all her friends to die as well. And I guess for now, she's still so traumatized that she thinks that CRM has a way to know if she told everyone. And she can't really be sure, you know, the hills have eyes, whatever. Further commentary. With next episode's A Little Prince, Morgan and Alicia bring Althea back to the rest of the gang, as well as Annie, Dylan, and Max's new group. After comparing notes, Morgan reaches out to Grace with what they've learned, but Grace seems to be in the midst of her own agenda in the following preview. Again, mild spoiler, but in promo materials. And just scrolling down, okay, there is more. Earlier this year, Fear the Walking Dead cast member Alexa Nissenson, who is Charlie, was promoted from recurring to a series regular for the upcoming season. This is just naming characters. I don't know that this is really a proper part of the article. This has been in there before. And it almost kind of seems like this is a separate article somehow. They're naming all the characters. We already knew that. So I'm just going to skip that part of the article. It's not really anything new and therefore not really necessary. And Joan has commented in the chat that she disagrees with Ray. Also, too, just for the record, Ray is a writer that is newer to my attention. I don't know how long he's been writing about the show, but it kind of strikes me as this was his assignment and not that he really understands the overarching mythos in that, you know, there are dire things going on in there, but everything is not black and white. It's not a good versus bad. Everything that is good is going to have bad in it, and most things that are bad have a tiny bit of good. It's always gray ethics going on, bendable ethics, malleable ethics. I know there's a term for it, and I can't remember. Joan, you might remember. But so that's the second synopsis. I'm going to pull up the next one, and the next one is going to be from UndeadWalking.com proper. I believe Fansided may have been a sidebar of theirs of some sort. Okay, come on. Pick it up. No, pardon me just a moment. My copy paste did not take. Come on. Give me just a moment here. Yes, it pasted instead of copying. Pardon. I don't mean to fool around so long. All right, so UndeadWalking.com. And it's entitled Live Stream. And so there's not a whole lot written on here, but it's also from Sarah Beth Pollock. It's something separate. So I wanted to see if she said anything different than the other thing she wrote a couple days prior. Yeah, she kind of does. All right. This week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead sees the group continuing the efforts to get back together after being separated for most of the season. Morgan's group has grown quite a bit with the addition of Dwight, Grace, and the Children of the Woods, so getting back over the mountains might be harder than previously planned. Speaking of Grace, Morgan knows that Grace only has so much time left before the nuclear exposure claims her, but that doesn't mean he won't try to convince her to come with them. Meanwhile, the title of the episode, The Little Prince, suggests that Luciana's conversation with Dylan might come to life as the search for a new way out continues. Dylan asked how the little prince was able to leave, and she told him how he fixed his ship, so perhaps that helps motivate the group to find a better solution to the problem. It certainly helps having Grace around to navigate the roads that are contaminated. And then they give the synopsis. The group is at its best when they're working together, and it looks like they'll need that teamwork to get through this week's episode. And then they have notes and the live feed, but we don't need that. Okay, so the next one is more of an overview about Grace's role in the plot and reappearing. It's 8:44, so we've got about 16 minutes before we go dark for the live episode. So this is from Inquisitor.com from July 1st, and I'm trying to find the author, Rachel Soumbakos, and I believe I've read some of Rachel's stuff before. Her name looks very familiar. It's T-S-O-U-M-B-A-K-O-S, and it's titled Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Grace and the Radioactive Zombies, set to return in Episode 6. All right, double-checking in the chat room. Joan has added to Ray Fluke's thing earlier that we were ragging on. He's welcome to his opinion, but so are we. Yes, and absolutely, that's what the show is about. Everyone does not have to agree. Joan and I do not always agree. But we're just discussing our reactions to stuff, and it's more fun if we're just doing it right in the moment. Because it's a little more accurate and interesting when you do it right then when it's happening. Okay, Inquisitor's extended synopsis. While the last episode of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead dealt exclusively with Althea's storyline, the next episode will feature the return of the new character Grace, played by Karen David, as well as more of the radioactive zombies previously seen in Season 5. There's a spoiler alert, but it's just, you know, as we often do, we discuss stuff in real time. So we assume that everybody listening to our show is current. Okay. Episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead dealt exclusively with Althea's storyline. Althea has been missing since her abduction in the Season 5 premiere of Fear. Since then, her group has searched for her but found no clues regarding her whereabouts. However, in the latest episode, her fate was confirmed, and while her life hung in the balance for a while there, Althea was finally reunited with her group by the end of the episode. However, a new trailer for Episode 6 reveals that the focus will return to the main group, and viewers will get a further look at Grace's story. Grace was first seen in Episode 2 of Fear, Season 5. She was previously employed at a nuclear power plant. However, thanks to the apocalypse and the incorrect maintenance of the power plant, she is now trying to locate and destroy all of the radioactive undead associated with the plant. Morgan and Alicia met up with Grace and soon learned just how dangerous some of the undead were in the area thanks to the radiation. Morgan even lost his wooden staff after killing a radioactive zombie, and Grace had to confiscate it. And once again, I'm going to bring up the point that that isn't his first damn staff, and stop being so emotionally attached to it. We already revealed last week an article from a couple years ago regarding, I guess, season 8 or 7, going into 8, somewhere in there, Morgan gave up his staff and took on a gun when they went to fight the Saviors. And they made quite a noise about it then. So he may have picked up a staff, but the staff has been long gone back in Alexandria. So stop harping on it. It should have never been a major plot point. That's sloppy writer continuity. And knock it off. All right. Since her appearance in Episode 2, Grace hasn't been seen. However, it seems likely that her story would get another look since Morgan's group was also out searching radioactive walkers during their travels. A trailer for Episode 6, which was released via Coming Soon, the website, comingsoon.net, shows Morgan trying to get in touch with Grace via walkie-talkie. During his message, he alerts Grace to the fact that they have located some people he thinks would be interested. She would be interested in meeting. While this is no confirmation that Morgan is referring to radioactive walkers, it seems unlikely he would be contacting her regarding anything else. No. Obviously, she would be interested in meeting the children of the people she's killing. Anyhow, we're going to tune in tonight and find out. And there's a quote. Oh, that the quote is just the synopsis, which I've already read you. Okay. Nice article overall, but Rachel, for the love of God, missed a major plot point here. He may or may not have found radioactive walkers, but he found the children of the radioactive walkers. And she may care a lot because she's got to go out and put their parents down. And I think they know what's going on, but, you know, they may need to have a conversation about that stuff. Okay, it is 8:49. Two more synopses to read you guys. We'll pull that up and paste that up there. Joan has not added a further comment yet, so I will proceed. Calling out and breaking barriers in Fear the Walking Dead 506 previews by Adam Carlson, written 6 days ago for Fansided under undeadwalking.com. Last week's episode of Walking Dead featured what was happening with Althea after she was abducted while chasing a story in the pouring rain. However, what comes next has to be a question. The group is getting much bigger since John and June found Dwight to bring with them. Plus, there are a lot of kids from the camp, which Morgan and Alicia finally convinced to come be with them 2 weeks ago. As is the standard, two preview videos have been released for Season 5, Episode 6 of the show titled Little Prince, which should be a term familiar to viewers who have been watching the last two seasons. But there is more than just a book going on for the July 7th episode of Fear. Here's a look at the sneak peek and teaser previews. That's all they had to say. Okay, that one was kind of short. So here's the last one. We're just zooming right along here. Okay, this last one is also from Inquisitor. It was a sidebar to the previous one. So this one's from July 1st. Fear the Walking Dead previews new disasters lurk while an old friend returns. Also by Rachel Symbachos. And I'm going to double check make sure that this isn't a repeat of the prior article. Okay, no. The prior article from Inquisitor was about the radioactive zombies. Okay, just double-checking before I launch. Okay. Spoiler alert. Put it aside. Okay. Episode 5 dealt with Althea. We know that. Every article starts this way. Not seen since the Season 5 premiere episode, Althea was taken hostage after she tried to find out more about a dead man wearing strange black gear. Her group had continued to search for Althea, but to no avail. However, the latest episode finally revealed her fate. Abducted by Isabel, Althea's life was in danger as she recorded the dead man, as well as the map she found on his person. Episode 5 revealed that Isabel belongs to a group that maintains its secrecy at any cost. However, by the episode, Althea had evaded certain death and returned to her group. When asked, Althea lied about her time apart from the group, opting to keep Isabel's group a secret from the others. Because that works so well with Tara keeping Oceanside a secret. Whatever. All right. And then they read the synopsis, which I'm skipping. First part of the synopsis is quite vague. Let's be real. All synopses for the show are vague. Even though it alerts viewers to the fact that a disaster is looming, of course it is. Why would we have a plot if it wasn't? The nature of this threat remains to be seen, though. Second part of the synopsis is intriguing as it introduces the concept of an old friend potentially returning. While this could mean Dwight, who had just recently turned up, it seems unlikely merely because he was considered a new friend, not an old one. Except to Morgan, my comment here. Potential is there that Daniel Salazar could be the person mentioned. However, while he's an old friend of Strand's, Daniel's a new friend of Sarah and Charlie, so it's the same problem. It seems like viewers will just have to wait till Sunday night to find out who this old friend really is. It's 8:52, and I don't know if I'll get to trivia in time, but if we do get to trivia, I'm going to tell you who it is, because it was in promo materials. As previously reported by the Inquisitor, a new teaser video for 6 reveals Morgan trying to contact Grace. Grace was last seen in episode 2. I'm kind of paraphrasing and skipping down in the article because it's kind of chatty. Associated with local nuclear power plant, Grace is now on the hunt to track down all the radioactive undead in the area. The trailer shows Morgan trying to contact Grace, but viewers see Grace turning off her walkie-talkie before venturing into a closed-off area. In the clip, Morgan mentions he's met some people that Grace might be interested in. At the moment, it's unclear who he's talking about, but fan-sided blog Undead Walking suggests that it might be the children rescued in a previous episode of Fear the Walking Dead. Thank you, Undead Walking, no kidding. However, it is unclear as to why Grace would be interested in this group. No, it's effing not. It's not unclear at all. Holy crap, people. They need to let me do a column for this stuff because these people don't know what they're doing. Another clip for episode 6 has been released by Skybound, and Skybound is the company that is in charge of a lot of the gaming and other side stuff. This clip opens with Morgan giving the children a pep talk. It seems to directly relate back to the looming disaster and impossible task hinted at in the synopsis for episode 6. Clip also shows the group attempting to repair the aircraft ruined in episode 4 when Strand saved Daniel from a group of the infected. It means the group could be getting ready to make their return to the Dunham factory they used to call home before Logan, Matt Frewer, took it over. This is what I think is going to happen. I think that is going to be where it goes up to the mid-season finale. And then we'll have to wait all summer to see what happens. In addition, the episode 6 clip shows Dylan Cooper Dodson speaking to someone that is, quote, far away on the radio. As yet, it's unclear who this person is and whether they will end up helping matters or making them worse in the upcoming episode of Fear. I will note this. The last time we had people talking to anybody on the radio in that sort of a way, if you remember the end of Walking Dead Classic, in the season finale, they had someone on the radio. And I believe the title of the mid-season finale had to do with their last line, "Is anybody out there?" That is the title of the mid-season finale for this, and I believe the two items are connected. And that is the last comment on that. Double-checking the chat room. Joan has a couple things to say. And she says, damn, maybe I should offer my writing services to some of these sites. I would at least get my facts and plot points straight before publishing. No kidding. And let me tell you, I know a couple of people have kind of asked me if I'm having some medical issues. I do have some chronic illness issues. And so sometimes when I talk on the air, I have a little difficulty. And I thank you guys for your patience. But a couple of people had asked if I was all right. I was stumbling a little more than usual. And what it's been is I pull up some of these articles, and sometimes I'm a little pushed for time. I don't get to read thoroughly through them, and I come across typos or nonsensical sentences. And I'm going through and just reading them like a script, and so I have to adjust on the fly. So they say things that are grammatically stupid or factually incorrect about the show, and I've got to go and go back and clean that mess up. And so this is a portion of why I kind of sound a little stumbly lately. And Joan also says, and hopefully now, how not to overstate the obvious as well. Yes. I mean, I can be critical. I have been a professional writer, and I believe, Joan, so have you. And these guys have a regular gig doing this, so I kind of freaking expect better, to be honest. I mean, if they're throwing it together with glaring grammar, pardon my hiccups, glaring grammar and spelling errors like this, I feel like they need somebody who knows the show really well to help them. It's 8:56. I finished the synopses. I have time for cast birthdays and possibly starting to get into writers and directors credits. I'm going to give you the second piece of trivia. It is a little bit of a spoiler, but I don't know how soon it's going to come up. So I want you guys to go ahead and hear this. So trivia about tonight's episode. First, it will be the 59th episode. And in the synopsis, it says, elsewhere, an old friend presents Sarah, Charlie, and Strand with a solution. This is a spoiler, but it is alluded to in promotional materials. Take a bathroom break if you don't want to hear. Shoo! So, Joan, I don't know if you're AFK or not, but for those of you that are still here, here it comes. The old friend that it's referring to is Jim Brower, the beer brewer that sacrificed himself last season to get his friends out of the hospital, which, out of character, I know was in Austin. In character, I'm unclear where in Texas the hospital takes place. So that's what they're referring to. I do not have any spoiler notes on how beer is supposed to be the magic that sets them free. Okay, cast birthdays this week. We only have one that I know of, Major Dodson, who is the brother of Cooper Dodson that's currently on. He played Sam Anderson in Alexandria, and his birthday is July 12th, and he's from Dallas, Texas. So let's give him some big birthday applause. And Joan has confirmed what I suspected and thought I remembered, that she still is a professional writer, though these days doing more marketing than column writing. But still, yes, but still, I think either one of us or together could put out something a little bit better, to be honest with you. But, you know, it is what it is already. So it's 8:58. We only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to just start on this. I may get through the director's bio. So tonight, my source has the writers and directors in advance. That didn't used to happen, and then it started happening. And now it's been full of mistakes and then not having it to the last minute. I don't know what's going on, so I beg your indulgence, as sometimes I have it ready and sometimes I don't. So this I didn't know until this morning. They hadn't posted it. The director is Sharat Raju, and the writer for tonight's episode is Mallory Westfall. So I have profiles for both, but being 8:59, I may just get through Mallory's. So Mallory Westfall has 5 miscellaneous crew credits since 2010 and 4 writer credits since 2011. She was a PA on The Secret Circle, Season 1 in 2012, Supernatural, Season 8, 2012, and both a PA and a writer's assistant for Perception from 2012 to 2015 for 39 episodes. She has regularly written for the sci-fi series Channel Zero, writing 5 episodes between 2016 to 2018. Mallory was nominated for Tisch, T-I-S-C-H's, at USC, Oliver Stone Screenwriting Award, with her script, Begotten. She currently works as an executive story editor on AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. She's currently also a Writers Guild of America West member. Westfall got a BA in film and television from NYU in 2010. There's not a lot of bio info on Westfall, but there is an interesting interview from 2014 that I would like to read to our listeners. 5 questions with Mallory Westfall, a post-PA turned writer's assistant, but we won't have time right now. I'm going to read that at the break. And by the way, this is her first time working anywhere in the franchise with tonight's episode. I'm going to go ahead and go dark. I'll see you guys at the first break. Okay, guys, we are back at the first commercial break. It is 9:05. I started at 5:75. Jones started at 5:05, and the last couple comments I didn't finish is that Annie cleans up well. I had seen pictures of her for this episode, and I had no freaking idea who she was. Holy crap. So the girl with the long hair and the beige sweater is Annie. And Joe says, I know, right? I didn't recognize her as the same girl. Playing parts, who suddenly became the engineer. I honestly don't know. I guess we'll find out. And I had said, I didn't think the plane would hold them all, because they have, just in my head, trying to do rough math, eyeballing it, about 10 kids, roughly, plus all of them. It's almost 20 people in that plane. I'm not sure it's going to make it. Although, strangely, it doesn't look like the plane they were rescuing from Daniel. It looks like a plane, it looks like the plane, the original plane, which may have had more room, I guess. So we'll find out how that part goes. But let me skip over to my notes. And I have that article for you guys. And the reason I wanted to read it, there's not that much to say about Mallory's bio. So I thought this article with her was kind of interesting. So I wanted to read that to you. It's also kind of an interesting look at the writing process about television. So, five questions with Mallory Westfall, a post PA turned writer's assistant. And this was done by aspiringtvwriter.blogspot.com. So it's an informal interview. It's kind of fun. The interviewer is Amanda, who is a professional screenwriter and script reader who started the blog when she moved to LA. It doesn't say Amanda who. It has a picture, but I don't know who she is. So anyway, this is back in December of 2014. So question number one, how did you get your first job in Hollywood? Well, we have Nosferatu, so I don't know if we're going back. Let me double check and see before I get started. We are going back, so I'm not going to get to it. Sorry, guys. I will try break number two. Now we have our setup. Okay, guys, we are at break number two, and I'm going to six. We'll see what Joan's going to do. She's doing also six. So let's go back to our commentary in between the last one. Okay. So after we gave our scores, let's see what I said before. Joan had said she thought that they brought back the original plane in pieces. I also agree. And I had said, I have no idea how they will magically know how to fix the plane is what I meant. Maybe Daniel will come back. He seems to know a lot of these things. But Jonah said, hope Daniel does come back. That was way too brief a return for him to just disappear again. I don't believe for a hot minute that he will just disappear again because that was way too much character reestablishment. And then Joan says, oh, poor Morgan, can't find a stick he likes. Here we go again. Oh, wait, the mop handle might be a winner. The mop handle was what he used in stick number two because the one he lost in Alexandria was not even his original stick. Holy crap. Okay. And then I said, they shouldn't assemble the plane behind the walls because how the F are they going to get it out to leave? And Joan said they probably have to tow it out again. Wonder if they're going to let Al fly again. And I think they will. But they tow it out, but it's much wider than the pieces they brought in. I don't know how it's going to clear the gates. And Joe's like, oh, details, Al can crash through anything. Yes, we've already demonstrated that, Joan. Not that Joan thinks that's a good thing necessarily. And then she says, wow, journalist, plane engineer. What else, Al? Oh, hold that engineer comment. So the propeller died, and Alicia was fighting with the propeller back in the original episode. So I don't know if she has any idea where she dropped it. Maybe they could go back to that site and grab the propeller off the ground somewhere. I don't know. They made a big deal about the damn propeller, so I thought maybe that would be a plot point. And then Grace comes on the radio and answers and says, you know, if you don't bring your generator, we're going to have another meltdown. And Joan's like, oh, and gives it a six. And I'm at a 6, too. Okay, so we do have time to get into the article now. It's 9:19. I'll do the best I can. So, question number one for Mallory Westfall. How did you get your first job in Hollywood? And Mallory says, most of us have heard that in Hollywood, it's about all about who you know. But in my case, it's this. In Fort Edward, it's all about who your mom knows. My mom grew up in a tiny mill town in upstate New York called Fort Edward. And actually, you know, I didn't have much bio on Mallory, so I could probably cannibalize this article for future times if she does work for the show again. So in 1973, she moved into a house down the street from a big Irish Catholic family. One of the six children in that family happened to grow up to be a big wig at Marvel in New York City. Right around the time I was graduating from film school, Disney bought Marvel, and my big wig family made a lot of new contacts at ABC Studios. He generously offered to put me in touch with them, and I got my very first general meeting out of it. I arrived in L.A. in June, however, and there weren't a lot of entry-level positions to go around, and I assume she means because it's summer and a lot of people fresh out of college are doing stuff. A few months and a couple of dismal side jobs later, I got an email from a producer regarding a post-production PA position on a new pilot called Perception. We met for what I thought was supposed to be an interview, but I later learned I had been a must hire, and we are back. I'll shut up. I will see you at break number four. Okay, guys, we are at break number 4, and I'm at 65 and Joan's at 65, and I will share with you our comments in between the last voting that we did. Morgan had said, excuse me, Joan had said about Morgan, hey, if Morgan can turn a mop stick into a lethal weapon, they can find a way to make a propeller, right? And I'm like, no. And then Joan had mentioned Dwight's, it's complicated, referring to the situation with Sherry. That is understatement of the year. Yeah. And, oh, they have props, I said, that would require driving, except that there's a poster with Jim's Brewing stuff on it. And it kind of looked, Joan, I'm not sure if you saw this more clearly than I did. What was on that poster? Did they have like a air balloon or something? Because I don't know how they're going to get the props to anybody except to go some way that isn't driving. I'm not sure what was in the poster that was helpful, but at any rate, that is with that. Let me go back to the interview. Let's see. Okay. So we just got done talking about perception. We met for, okay, the interview says, we met for what I thought was supposed to be an interview, but I had later learned that I had been a must hire, which explained why my new boss was talking to me like I had the job already. Another stroke of luck, thanks to my mom's childhood friend. After the perception pilot, I went to work on another pilot in post and learned to, and continued to learn a lot about the production process, a foundation I'm still very grateful for. Soon Perception was picked up the series, and I instantly got in contact with the showrunner's assistant, whom I had come to know while working on the pilot, and asked if there was a writer's PA position available. And there was, and I was lucky enough to get it. From there, I went back and forth between being a writer's PA and a post PA, and that's production assistant, for the first 2 seasons, and was promoted to writer's assistant in the 3rd season. It was one of the most challenging, exciting, exhausting, and wonderful experiences in my career thus far. From all the stories I've heard about how people got their start in the business, it's easy to glean there's no one right path. Mine has been a mixture of networking, hard work, and a lot of luck stemming back to the 70s. All right, keeping an eye on things. We're still in a commercial. Okay, question number 2. While working in post, did you learn anything that's been useful to you as a writer? Answer. As I mentioned earlier, I was able to work in both the writing and post departments on Perception. I got to watch each episode go from initial pitch to final cut, which was enormously beneficial to me as a writer. I was able to see which ideas worked really well on screen and which ideas were better on paper. I was also able to observe how direction, design, and performance could enhance what was on the page. I think it's a great idea for aspiring writers to try their hand in other departments if they get a chance. And by the way, this is comment from me. As a professional theater person, you know, when I was taking theater classes and training, doing all that stuff, my professors insisted on us actors taking crew classes and vice versa. I think it is imperative when you engage in the performing arts that you have experience in different parts of it, because what you do affects everybody. And you need to understand how, and the best way to do that is to be somebody that it affects. Back to the interview. The more you know about the entire process, the better you'll be able to write a good, producible script later on down the line. Double-checking. Okay, still commercials. Question 3. What's something you've learned about writing or the industry from your jobs? Answer. One of the most important things I've learned about writing is that you have to be good at more than just writing in order to have a career in it. This is a fact I've reluctantly come to accept over the 4 years I've been in L.A. Other than being an actually talented writer, you have to be good at networking, strategizing, pitching, collaborating, and my favorite, selling yourself. And we are back. I will see you guys at break number 5. No, this was break number 5. Joan, help me out. What break are we on? I'll see you at the next one. We'll find out which one that is. See ya. Okay, guys, 9:42, and I think we are at break number 5 now, thanks to Joan figuring that out for me. I am at 675. She is at 7. By the way, the Walking Dead TWD Rewards group task is the word for tonight if you're doing the rewards thing. Joan rewound the episode and was unable to get really clear what was on that poster that's supposed to help everybody. So I don't know either. Let me go back to the interview I was doing for you. And that means I'm going to have a whole lot of other articles and things to get through. I don't even know if I'll finish all that tonight, but we'll see. Okay. We were in the middle of answering what's something you've learned about writing or the industry from your jobs. Selling yourself. Okay. A lot of these practices can seem downright counterintuitive to someone with the personality of a writer, but it's important to figure them out. There are tons of people vying for the same position you want, and the people who are hiring have to sift through them all. You'll have to figure out a way to cut through the noise. 4, how did you get your manager? Answer, during the handful of general meetings I had when I first moved out to LA, an exec at TNT gave me the contact information for a family friend of his who happened to be a manager. He told me it would be good to sit down with him and talk about what managers do, what they're looking for, etc. So I did, and it went really well. We clicked over the kind of television we watched and the subjects I wanted to write about, so I gave him my sample scripts. He told me he'd read them and get back to me. I was stoked. Then a month went by. I politely checked with him via email, as one is told to do during these situations. He wrote back saying he hadn't read my stuff yet, but was planning on taking a look soon. God, this sounds familiar. So another month went by and another. In the meantime, I'd gotten my first job, my second job, and was really starting to get the hang of the whole TV thing. Then I got a phone call, a voicemail, actually. It was Aaron Kogan, the manager. I assume that manager. Said that he had finally gotten around to reading my pilot and really liked it. He wanted to get together for coffee and talk about it. This was 9 months after our initial meeting. 9 months. The full gestation period of a human fetus. To be fair, the manager and his wife had just welcomed their own human fetus, crossed out baby, into the world when I first met him. And suffice it to say, he was a tad busy. So we met again, and it was one of the most exciting meetings I've ever had. He instantly understood what I was going for with the script, gave really smart notes, and our instincts seemed to be completely in sync. After a few more meetings, I signed with him, and we've been creative partners ever since. Just as a personal note, I would find it really hard at this point in my life to deal with the lack of proactiveness. All right, so we have a pizza commercial. I think I can get through the rest of the interview. Question 5, what's a piece of advice you would give to your younger self? And this was only 4 years ago, really. The advice I would give to my younger self is just to be patient, because everything can turn on a dime. I was working at a Macy's cosmetics counter in Beverly Hills, shamelessly pretending to know what I was talking about, when I got an email out of the blue offering me my first job in TV. I often think about that when my career is feeling stagnant or I'm worried about the future. Of course, you should always be writing and preparing yourself for when an opportunity comes knocking, but a lot of it is about luck and timing. You never know when that conversation you had with that guy 9 months ago is going to come back around and change everything, so be patient. All right, I thought we were going to go back because they had a trailer for Stuber, but now we're back into Fruit of the Loom, and I'm looking at Men's Doodads. Okay, fabulous. All right, so I've read that for you. And I did not get an opportunity yet to do the profile for the director tonight, Sharat Raju. And I'm going to try to get that done before we go off for the night. I don't know how much of the rest of my notes I'll be able to get done for you, but I will try. I may linger and try to read them. We'll see. Joan, let me know if you feel like sitting through that. So Sharat Raju, the director of tonight's episode, we are back, so it doesn't matter. I'll talk to you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, it is 9:51, and we're at break number 6 now. So Joan's staying at 7. I'm creeping up to 7. And I'm going to share the last few comments. Joan thinks I was right about the hot air balloon on the cover of the beer magazine. Looks like an inflatable beer bottle. And she says that she could hang out for a little bit after. And she says, John's going to keep that letter to Dwight, likely. And here we go again with the damn stick. And right after that, I said, oh, my FG, stop with the staff. They're taking the metaphor way too far. Yes, I know that nobody who writes for this show ever listens to what I'm saying. You know, I understand that, but I have to vent. Maybe some of my listeners have a way to let them know. Fan feedback, I don't know. But guys, please get off that stuff with the staff. Morgan Staff, it's not the original. He's not that damn attached to it. He's attached to the idea and the history. But this is like staff number 3 for him. Stop pretending it's staff number 1. It's totally not. Staff number 1 was destroyed. Someone broke it in half. If I look long enough, I can probably find out what the hell plot line that was. But during The Walking Dead, that staff got broken and taken away, and he got another one. So stop it. All right. I have finished the interview, and let me see what else I have in notes. I was about to read the bio of the director, so let me get that done for you. 9:52, or you have a couple minutes, let's say. So Sharat Raju is an Indian-American director and writer known for creating documentaries and films pertinent to the life of immigrants in American society. His first film, American Made, won 17 film festival awards and aired nationally on PBS's, quote, independent lens. Raju is known for his work on Scandal, 2012, American Made, 2003, and Designated Survivor in 2016. Grew up in Darien, Illinois, near Chicago, and attended Hinsdale South High School. Former sports editor of the student paper at the University of Michigan, and worked as a freelance reporter for the Daily Herald in Northern Illinois. Raju lives with his wife, Valerie Carr, in Los Angeles, California. Raju's brother, Manu Raju, is a veteran Washington, D.C. political reporter and is currently senior congressional correspondent for CNN. Kind of cool. Raju co-founded the Yale Visual Law Project and co-produced 3 documentary short films as a visiting fellow at Yale's Law School's Information Society Project. Raju's first film, American Made, oh, that's a repeat. I don't need to say this twice. Take that last sentence out. Sorry, I read that to you in the first section. I copied it over and it double-copied something. American Made was Raju's master's thesis while studying at the American Film Institute. In September 2004, he was named by Esquire magazine as one of the 20 young film directors to watch. Prior to graduate school, he worked for acclaimed casting director Mally Finn on feature films such as 8 Mile, Matrix Revolutions, and Matrix Reloaded. Raju has collaborated on many of his works with his wife, Valerie. Divided We Fall in 2008 was his first film created in partnership with his wife. The couple has made other documentary films that include Stigma 2011, which highlights the impact of New York City police's stop and frisk policy, Alienation, One Word, 2011, Memoriam 2012, a short film about the 2012 mass shooting at a Sikh Gurdwara in Wisconsin. He's also directed episodes of famous TV shows like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, NCIS, New Orleans, Criminal Minds, and Mistresses. Directing tonight's episode is his second time working in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being directing season 4, episode 13 of Fear, called Blackjack. We are not back. I'm very surprised. Okay, perfect. See if I can run through the trivia. First two things, I read you guys already. It is the last appearance of Jim Brower in a photograph. The title of the episode refers to the title of a book Dylan owns. It is also the title of a book Luciana tried to give Charlie, who in turn gives her the same book later. As seen in The Hurt That Will Happen, Luciana still owns the book, and it survived the plane crash. And in Skidmark, Dylan suggests the group repair their crashed plane to escape the area, taking inspiration from how the narrator escaped in The Little Prince. And we're back, and I'll see you guys probably at the end because it's 9:55. Thanks. Okay, guys, it's 10:03, end of show. Joan and I are both ending on 7:05, and the show is ending on a cliffhanger. I'm going to grab our last comments, and then I'm going to go through the rest of my notes for those of you who are willing to hang out for a hot minute. So comments between the last voting and the end, we have several. Jonah said, finally stranded company to the rescue, beer to the rescue. And then I got excited, beer blimp. And Jonah said, oh, the kids are already gone, damn it. They may still see it from wherever they are. And I got mad because John lied to Dwight about what was in Sherry's note. And I'm so tired of that as a plot device. Can people just, like, not lie to people? I'm so tired of it. I'm a very transparent person to the point where it makes a lot of people uncomfortable because your average person is still very comfortable telling lots and lots of little white lies because they think they're helping. And I'm very not about that. So this always ticks me off. And it ends up blowing up in their face, and you would think they'd learn by now. But anyhow, then next I said, I hope to see the blimp and come back. And Joan said, I know his heart's in the right place, but not a good idea. Hey, look, Strand can crash too. Yeah, okay. I'd be rethinking this flying thing if I were them. And then I mentioned because walkers are coming out where Strand and Alicia are in the preview for next week, and some of them are wearing dosimeters. And so, of course, we know that they're radioactive. And or they're ending on a cliffhanger. So let me go back to my notes. And there are a few things I want to share. I want to share, like, the trivia and some notes and some other things real quick. I'm not going to do the articles. I'll save those for next week. So episode from last week, episode 5 trivia. Sarah Wayne Callies, best known for playing Lori Grimes on The Walking Dead, was originally listed as director of this episode, and we apologize for any confusion otherwise. We do not know what caused the changes in listed staff. I don't know where they got the notion Sarah was directing. It kind of poofed, and then the showrunners they had Satchar directing, and then the showrunners wrote it. Al reveals her last name to be Sefcik Prigaki, and it is spelled S-Z-E-W-C-Z-E-K hyphen P-R-Z-Y G-O-C-K-I. This is the last appearance of Isabel so far. That's a CRM pilot who had Al, and give her a big smoochie. Last appearance of Beckett as a corpse, Isabel's CRM teammate who witnessed the nuclear meltdown and is the uniformed walker Al finds back in the episode Here to Help. The episode begins shortly after Here to Help ended, meaning last week's episode chronologically was happening right after Here to Help. It covers about 72 hours of time between the end of Here to Help and the end of Skidmark. The scene where Isabel puts down some walkers near Max and Annie in Skidmark is seen again from her point of view. It's revealed that the reason Morgan's group had to use a plane to get in and needs to fly out is because none of the roads in the area are passable due to massive traffic jams created by people trying to get out. And this also reveals to me that they are located right outside some kind of a major city to be having that many roads with that many jams, but yet near a mountain. And I don't know where that would be located in reference to anything else. Kind of interesting. In the episode Good Out Here, Al becomes panicked when seeing her tape locker broken open and inside her boxes of tapes labeled the bog, going from 1 to 32. The bog number 7 is revealed to be the story she was recording when her brother died and features the National Guard and Army shooting at each other. Confirmed deaths are Jesse Sefcik Prigaki, who is Al's brother, who died while she was making the tape Bog Number 7, and two unnamed rock climbers that were zombified. No Goose Era's bloopers are listed. No featured music was named. Unaccounted for characters were skipping. I do have news on The Talking Dead returning. There is actually an article. Joan, do you have time for an article? It isn't a long one, but it kind of does not explain why the hell they did this, but it kind of starts to talk about it a little tiny bit. So this is from comicbook.com. Cameron Bolomono was written on June 29th, but I had missed it earlier trying to find out what the hell was going on. Talking Dead will return with Chris Hardwick hosting Sunday, July 21st, immediately following the Fear the Walking Dead Season 5 mid-season finale. It says premiere in the article. That's what I'm talking about, sloppy crap going on. The aftershow's official Twitter account announced. Its return will end a 7-week hiatus. Its most recent episode on June 2nd trailed Fear's Season 5 premiere. Blah, 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 blah. NBC has been airing horror series Nosferatu in its place. Ticket booking site 1OITA, I thought it was 1iota, but anyway, reveals Talking Dead will perform a double taping on Friday, July 12th, followed by a special taping on Monday, the 15th, and then that will be the 21st mid-season finale, and then we'll undergo a short break. The back half of the season will return. This is how I know these dates, why I said it was a spoiler earlier, and Joan, I hope you heard that. The back half of the season will return August 11th, I called it, and is expected to run its season 5 finale September 29th, ahead of The Walking Dead's expected early October season 10 premiere, which I extrapolated out will be October 6th. So mark those dates to make sure that you guys don't miss stuff. During its time away, the Talking Dead couch has missed the return of the long-missing Daniel Salazar, the arrival of former Walking Dead star Austin Emilio to the spinoff as Dwight, and the debuts of franchise newcomers Matt Frewer, Karen David, Bailey Gavulik, Ethan Suess, and Cooper Dodson. And Fear added another new character, Sydney Lemons Isabel, in Sunday's 505, The End of Everything. Other bombshells not yet examined by Hardwick include the still unraveling mystery behind the eventual disappearance of Rick Grimes. Fear has since crossed paths with the CRM group that now captured a similarly disappeared Althea, and a freshly unveiled potential connection between Daniel and The Walking Dead's Abraham Ford. And I told you guys there might be a prequel because they were screwing around in Texas a lot. Characters crossing over from one show to the other will be a rare thing. Walking Dead chief content officer and frequent Talking Dead guest Scott Gimple said during the April convention. But the mothership and its spinoff will grow further intertwined through connective tissue linking both shows to the wider Walking Dead universe. Quote, it's not going to happen like this a lot, Gimple said, but I will say there are different sorts of crossovers we're going to do to tie the shows together, tie the universe together in certain ways that have to do with the greater happenings in the world. So now we know, and I wanted to make sure that you guys heard that this week. Quick reminder of the rest of the season until the mid-season finale. Episode 7 next week is still standing. Director's Marta Cunningham. We don't have the writer. That's June 14th. Episode 8, the mid-season finale. Is anybody out there? Yes, like the radio at the end of Walking Dead Season 9. Director will be Satro, Michael Satrazemis, July 21st, followed by The Talking Dead, not Nosferatu, so make sure to leave some time. Discussion questions we're going to skip by. Let me invite you guys to other upcoming shows on NDB Media, including this coming Wednesday the 10th, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show at 11 p.m., Episode 73, which is the Dunning-Kruger Effect, Part 2 of 2. The day after, Thursday, 7-11 at 8 p.m., Travel Itch Radio. Historic Fredericksburg, Virginia takes center stage on Travel Itch Radio. Thursday, July 11th, when Dan Schlossberg and Anita Stokes-Thomas interview Debbie Ayler of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Called the most underrated city in Virginia, Fredericksburg has a rich legacy dating back through the Civil and Revolutionary Wars. It also has many museums and historic structures, and that's true. I've been there many times. It's a lovely town, and you definitely should tour it if you're in the Northern Virginia area. Please also join us next Sunday for Episode 7, still standing on July 14th at 8:30 p.m. Thank you for your patience in waiting out the rest of the stuff I got to say. Give you guys a quick hand for my appreciation. And I'll let you guys go for the evening, and I will hopefully see you next week. Thanks for joining us.